Heavenly Father, again, Lord, it's just such a blessing to be with those of like precious faith. We thank you, Lord, for all that has occurred today so far, Lord, the time around the Lord's table with your people, sharing common union. Thank you for the encouragement received through the word during that time. Also, Lord, through the singing during that time. Lord, we think of those who will be leaving us after this day. We pray, Lord, and thank you that you are ordering their steps and, Lord, giving them mercy as they journey, Lord, to their destinations. We pray that as they look back on this, their last Sunday here, that it will be a time that will be a blessing to them. And as they look back on it, they will do so fondly, Lord, because of the fellowship and because of your presence in our midst. And now, as we always do, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us and speak through us, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You will remember these iconic lines from a scene from a very popular movie in 1992. Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red? I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers? I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. Today's passage is for those of us who can handle the truth. My brother did an excellent job as he opened up this passage the last time that he spoke. And I agree with much of what he had to say about this elect lady. So I'm not going to go into too much of that. If you weren't here, you need to make sure that you go back and listen to that. It was a true blessing. He mentioned some of the key words in these three books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John: love, truth. I believe that the key word that we're going to look at today. In 2 John is the word truth. I think in the three letters, the word truth appears about maybe 20 times. And so in today's passage, the three things I want to bring out. This is a quick three-point sermon, three-point teaching. Followers of Jesus Christ, I believe, have three responsibilities to the truth based on this passage. One is we must know the truth. The second is we must protect the truth. And the third is we must abide in the truth. We must know what is true. We must protect what is true. And we must abide in what is true. According to the writing of John here. This is the same John that through the unction of the Holy Spirit recorded these words of Jesus. He says, I am the one and only way. I am the one and only truth. I am the one and only life. No man has ever come, no man can ever come, and no man will ever come to the Father except through me. To the world, that's as closed-minded as it comes, but the reality is it is the truth. I don't care what cable news channel you look at. I don't care what cable news you listen to. In today's world, it is hard to find the truth. There was a Barna study, George Barna, and his study said that in a 3-to-1 margin, 64% versus 22% of adults that he surveyed said that the truth is relative to a person's situation. The scary thing about that is the numbers were even higher in the teenagers. And so our young people are coming up with this idea that the truth is relative to your situation. He also found that people said that they were more likely to make their moral and ethical decisions based on whatever felt right at the time. And the scary thing about, the real scary thing is, amongst those who are professing Christians, the numbers were a little bit different, but they weren't that much different. If you go to Strong's Concordance, the number is Strong's G225, and the word truth means this: what is true in any circumstance and matter under consideration. Truth never changes. Well, you want to have it. Here's a phrase I hear every time I hear it from somebody on television. I want to reach in the TV and just try to shake some sense into them. When somebody says, well, I'm walking in my truth. Yeah. So let's get into the passage. I believe that at this point of his life, John, just like me, has more in his rearview mirror than he has in his windshield. And I also believe, just like me, as he's getting older, he's mellowing out a little bit. You know, this is the same John that once when they were traveling from Jerusalem to Samaria and they ran into some prejudice there, and Jesus dubbed him one of the sons of thunder because he was like, Lord, you want us to call down fire from heaven on these folks? But he seems to be mellowing out a little bit more. And even in this warning, there seems to be kind of a plea, because you're going to see later that he kind of implores us to do some things more so than commanding us to do some things. But I believe that there's some things he wants us to see. First of all, we must know the truth. Look at verse 7 there. I usually teach from the New King James. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and an antichrist, or the spirit of antichrist. John speaks here of the fact that many deceivers have gone out into the world. Not just in his time, but now also there are many deceivers that are out here in the world. He says what a deceiver is, and he says there, watch this. He says that anyone who does not confess Jesus as coming in the flesh, this is a deceiver and an antichrist. The word confess means to agree with or to speak the same thing. And here it's in the negative. So what he's saying is that any person who does not agree that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, and I believe he's talking here specifically about the incarnation, that any person who does not agree that Jesus Christ was the incarnate God in the flesh, he calls them a deceiver. The incarnation isn't just about the fact that Jesus was born, but it's about who he was when he was born. I see folks on TV, you know, these award shows or whatever, and they'll get up to the microphone and they'll say, well, I just want to thank God. Doesn't impress me, because the reality is I don't know what God you're talking about. In order for me to understand that you know what the truth is, I want to know what it is that you think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he? And the Bible says that those who do not agree with the incarnation as it is recorded in God's word is a deceiver. There's some things we need to know. You know, see, our faith is based on our doctrine, the doctrine of the word of God, the teaching of the word of God. Our faith is based on doctrine, the deity of Jesus Christ, the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ, his resurrection, salvation by grace through faith alone. These things are essential and they're non-negotiable. And if any of these doctrines are removed from our lives, what's left is not right. Here's the truth. Jesus Christ came into this world. He came in the flesh. Watch this. He didn't come into flesh. He came in the flesh. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is the truth. I don't care what title a person has. I don't care how many letters they have behind their name. If they do not agree and say the same thing that the Bible says about the incarnation of Christ, the Word of God calls them a deceiver. And it says that they're, and that word actually means an imposter. And watch this, they have the spirit of the Antichrist. Some of us, when we hear that term Antichrist, we think about the book of Revelation. The reality is that term does not really appear in the book of Revelation. In the Bible, John is the one that uses that terminology about the Antichrist. And it literally means against Christ or against the anointed one. It literally is to be an opponent of the Messiah. When a person does not believe what the Bible says about the incarnation of Christ, the Bible says that they are against the anointed one. Turn with me for a moment to Galatians chapter 6. I'm only going to ask you to turn to one other scripture today, Galatians chapter 6. Paul's the writer. This actually could have been written yesterday. Beginning at verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, verse 2, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. According to the will of God and our Father, verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. In other words, there could never be another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, then let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. We must know the truth. We must know the truth because many deceivers are going out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. But that's a really a timeless turn of phrase there, where it says, does not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. In John's day, they did not believe that the Messiah had come. And in today's world, they do not believe that the Messiah is coming back. I was just on your website. I don't know when's the last time you've been to your website. I was on your website just the other day because I wanted to listen to the teaching that came before this. And here's what it says on your, this is your website. This is Grace Gospel Chapel's website. It says this under a statement of faith. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, by the virgin birth, became a man in order to become the Savior of mankind. It says we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins by his redemptive work on the cross, was buried, and rose again on the third day, and that he ascended into heaven to sit on God's right hand. It also says, we believe that the Lord's return will be premillennial, personal, visible, and powerful. We must know the truth because there are many deceivers out there in the world. There's a teaching that I heard. Guys, you have that video queued up. I want you to queue up that video for me right now. Something I want you to see. This has been in my arsenal for a few years. Some of you may be familiar with it. If you are, it'll be a reminder. If you've never seen this before, it's going to open your eyes a little bit. Let's see it.
There's been a lot of talk about identity lately, but how far does it go? And is it possible to be wrong? We went to the University of Washington to find out.
Are you aware of the debate happening in Washington State around the ability to access bathrooms, locker rooms, spas based on gender identity and gender expression?
I think people should be able to have access to the facility.
I think bathrooms could and potentially should be gender neutral because there doesn't need to be a classification for differences.
I think people definitely should have the ability to go into whichever locker room they want.
I feel like at least public universities should do their best to accommodate for those who do not have a specific gender identity.
You know, whether you identify as male or female and whether your sex at birth is matching to that, you should be able to utilize the resources.
So if I told you that I was a woman, what would your response be?
Good for you. Okay. Like, yeah.
Nice to meet you.
I'd be like, what? Really?
I don't have a problem with it.
I'd ask you how you came to that conclusion.
If I told you that I was Chinese, what would your response be?
I mean, I might be a little surprised, but I would say, good for you. Like, yeah, be who you are.
I would maybe think you had some Chinese ancestor.
I would ask you how you similarly came to that conclusion and why you came to that conclusion.
I would have a lot of questions, just because on the outside, I would assume that you're a white man.
If I told you that I was 7 years old, what would your response be?
I wouldn't believe that immediately.
I probably wouldn't believe it, but I mean, it wouldn't really bother me that much to go out of my way and tell you, no, you're wrong. I'd just be like, oh, okay, he wants to say he's 7 years old.
If you feel seven at heart, then then so be it. Yeah, good for you.
So if I wanted to enroll in a first grade class, do you think I should be allowed to?
Probably not, I guess. I mean, unless you haven't completed first grade up to this point and for some reason need to do that now.
If that's where you feel like mentally you should be, then I feel like there are communities that would accept you for that.
I would say so long as you're not hindering society and you're not causing harm to other people, I feel like that should be a okay thing.
If I told you I'm 6 feet, 5 inches, what would you say?
That I would question.
Why?
Because you're not. No, I don't think you're 6'5".
If you truly believed you're 6'5", I don't think it's harmful. I think it's fine if you believe that. It doesn't matter to me if you think you're taller than you are.
So you'd be willing to tell me I'm wrong?
I wouldn't tell you you're wrong.
No, but I say that I don't think that you are.
I feel like that's not my place as like another human to say someone is wrong or to draw lines or boundaries.
No, I mean, I wouldn't just go like, oh, you're wrong, like, that's wrong to believe in it, because, I mean, again, it doesn't really bother me what you want to think about your height or anything.
So, I can be a Chinese woman.
You... sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
Yes.
If you thoroughly debated me or explained why you felt that you were 6'5", I feel like I would be very open to saying that you are 6'5", or Chinese, or a woman.
It shouldn't be hard to tell a 5'9 white guy that he's not a 6'5 Chinese woman. But clearly it is. Why? What does that say about our culture? And what does that say about our ability to answer the questions that actually are difficult?
Yeah. We're talking about God's truth here today, but the reality is, I mean, if the world won't even accept the fact that a 5 foot white man isn't a 6 foot Chinese woman, what chance do we have of them understanding and accepting the truth of God's word? How many of you never saw that before? Yeah, absolutely amazing. So here we are. We must know the truth. But also, we must protect the truth. Look at verse 8. It says, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. It says, look to yourselves. Take heed. Beware. We have an expression in the African American community. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Yeah, the Bible says we need to be aware. We need to look out for. We need to take heed to ourselves. I love the way J.B. Phillips' translation says it. He says this, take care of yourselves. Do not throw away all the labor that has been spent on you, but persevere till God gives you your reward. We must protect the truth. I said to you, there's a teaching that I heard. This is an example of some of the things that are being taught from pulpits all over the United States of America. Again, this is a disclaimer. So I hope nobody like picks this up in the middle and thinks that I really believe this. The Word of God says that faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. And the Word of God says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The Word of God says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. There are some things that you hope for. There are some things that you hope for, but they are yet unseen. But faith is the substance of those things. And so that unseen thing that you want to be manifested into the seen from the unseen, all you have to do is have enough faith. Because faith is the substance giver of the things that you hope for. And so that when you put enough faith into the thing that you're believing for, it manifests itself from the unseen into the seen. That is erroneous, false teaching that even some of the people of God are being led astray with because it sounds good, you know, it tickles the ear. You know, there are those who want people to be impressed, you know, with what they're teaching, you know, some great revelation that nobody's ever had before. That is why John is reminding us that we must protect the truth. He says there in verse 9, and this is my third point, not only must we know the truth, not only must we protect the truth, but we must abide in the truth. Look at verse 9, 2 John, that whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. We're talking about abiding in God's truth. Acts 2:42 says this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. They continued steadfastly. They abided in it. They made themselves at home in it. They made themselves comfortable in the apostles' doctrine. Again, I said, our faith rests upon our doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That doctrine is teaching. Doctrine is the precepts that we especially that apply to our daily lives. The Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching. It's profitable for reproof, that is conviction. It's correction. It's one thing to know that I'm wrong, but it's another thing to understand how I can get myself right. Conviction, reproof, it lets us know when something's wrong in our lives. The Word of God says that it's good for correction. It is restoring us to a proper state. It's one thing for me to know that I'm wrong, but it's another thing to know how I can be restored to a proper state. It's doctrine. It's also profitable for instruction in righteousness. That's training. You know, we love teaching. I've said before, we love sitting here and hearing the Word of God taught to us because all we got to do to be taught is just sit there and listen. We love teaching, but the Bible says that it's also profitable for instruction. That means that we're not only just listening to the teaching, but we're being trained to go out now and do something with what it is that we have learned. We must abide in the truth. And why? At the end, it says there that the man or woman of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work. What a wonderful thing it is that God has called us to service, but not only has he called us to service, but he has empowered us to do the service, and then on top of that, he rewards us for the doing. The Word of God says there that whoever transgresses does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. He does not have God. But if we abide in this doctrine of Christ, we have both the Father and the Son. It says, whoever transgresses, and that word transgress means to go past or to go beyond or to go too far. That teaching that I just shared with you, that false teaching, it goes too far. It goes beyond. Any teaching that goes beyond the scriptures, any teaching that something new that's supposed to give us some new revelation. In John's time, there was a group called the Gnostics. And, you know, they believed that there was some higher revelation that they could achieve outside of the Word of God. They also believed that most flesh, that flesh was sinful, and so that God, how in the world could God come into a fleshly body and dwell among us? That was the teaching at those times, and it's the same teaching that we hear today in so many places. John had them in his day. We have them in our day. I like the way, again, J.B. Phillips says it this way: the man who is so advanced that he is not content with what Christ have taught. I don't know whether you've experienced this here, but we've had folks leave our assembly because they just wanted, you know, they weren't content in just abiding in the Word of God. They wanted something new. They wanted something more. And the Bible says that that is the spirit of Antichrist. Listen, as much as we love folks, we cannot compromise the truth of God's word in order to show love and to show hospitality. If I stood up here at Grace Gospel Chapel and said, you know, when you talk about the virgin birth, what it really means is that at the time Mary and Joseph came together, she was a virgin. And it was after that he knew her that Jesus was born. If I had said that, they would escort me out of those doors before you could say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And so the Word of God is reminding us and commanding us that we are not to show hospitality to folks who come and want to come into our homes. And listen, I believe this not only applies to false teaching in our assemblies, I believe it also applies to false singing in our assemblies. I love contemporary gospel music as much as the next person. But if you listen to some of the words of these songs, it is unbiblical. It's got folks believing that we have some power. You know, the Bible does say that life and death is in the power of the tongue, but the Bible is not saying, Jeremy, that you can speak something into existence just because you want it to happen. And the Word of God lets us know in no uncertain terms, unequivocally, that we are not to allow these men into our... And the reality is, for me, and this is just personal, I don't even let them into my home. You know, I know some folks that, Jehovah Witnesses or others, they welcome into the house because I want a witness, Brother Sam. And so we'll sit down and they'll open up their Bible, I'll open up mine. Listen, we have to be very, very careful of what we allow in our homes. Watch this. Through television? Because a lot of times our attitude about it is, well, I won't do that, but I'll watch you do it. We have to be very, very careful that we are not hospitable to the spirit of Antichrist in our assemblies and in our homes. The Bible says, do not receive him into your house or greet him. We must know the truth. We must protect the truth, and we must abide in the truth. Verse 12 says, having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak to you face to face. Literally, the translation is mouth to mouth. In other words, he's saying, I want to be able to speak to you mouth to mouth that our joy may be full. There are several mediums by which we can interact. You got paper and pencil, which John used here. Today we have Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram, Zoom. But nothing beats face-to-face and mouth-to-mouth fellowship. That's why it's so wonderful that we can come together, be around the Lord's table. That is why it's so wonderful that we can come together face to face, mouth to mouth, and sit and under the teaching of God's word and be edified and be filled. Verse 13 in closing, the children of your elect sister greet you, amen. Again, I think that my brother did such a good job with that. I do. Whether you believe that this elect lady was a woman who had a church home, whether you believe it was just an individual, whether you believe that it was a personification of the local assembly. Either way, the reality is that we have a responsibility in our homes and in our assemblies and as individuals to know the truth to protect the truth and to abide in the truth. To abide in what is true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage. 13 verses in this book. Some call it a postcard, but what a postcard it is. And certainly a timely study in these days and times where truth to so many in the world has become relative. The truth is based on how I feel at the moment. The truth is based on my particular circumstance and situation. But we thank you for this exhortation and encouragement from your word, Lord, that reminds us that there is, in the world right now, the spirit of Antichrist. It's not coming in some future date, but it's here right now. And as your people, Lord, it is our responsibility to be mindful, to take heed to ourselves, Lord, to make sure that all that has been planted in us, that we don't lose it, not our salvation, Lord, but our rewards, the work that you've called us to, that you empower us to do, and that you reward us for, Lord, we don't want to lose any of that by being led astray, Lord, by imposters, wolves in sheep's clothing, those who would come amongst us, Lord, and sow seeds of discord, those who would come amongst us, Lord, and take us away from the truth of your word, the basic truth of your word. Lord, this is such a serious matter that John said, listen, there are other things I want to say to you, but I'm not going to write it down. I want to come and say it to you face to face and mouth to mouth. And that's the opportunity that we have today, Lord, as men of God, Lord, the leaders and elders of this assembly, Lord, stand Sunday after Sunday before your people and give them the word of God, not watered down, not compromised. And we pray, Father, that we would, Lord, just be so grateful for that. Lord, because there are so many who are being led astray and deceived today by the spirit of Antichrist. We thank you again, Lord, that we can come together every Sunday around your table and be reminded that the word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. That he is fully God and fully man. That he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He that was dead and behold, he lives forevermore. Lord, of these things are so precious to us because it is the doctrine that is the foundation of our faith. And we never get tired of hearing it, Lord. Faith cometh by hearing it, so we can hear it over and over and over. But every time we hear it, our hearts are going to rejoice because it is truth. The truth of your word. Lord, cause us to be serious about knowing your truth. And Lord, that truth is not just known because someone stands in front of us on a Sunday and opens the word of God and shares with us. But as we in our lives, Lord, in our daily lives, take time out, Lord, to open our Bibles for ourselves and to allow you to feed us and spending time in your word that you can speak to us because that's the way you speak. Lord, we know that you can speak through circumstances. We know that you can speak through others, but primarily you speak to us through the truth of your word. And so we thank you for that today. We thank you that you brought us into your house. We thank you, Lord, that when we heard your word, that it was your spirit who quickened us, that we might understand that what we were hearing was truth.
accepted as the truth of God. So we thank you today that we can know the truth, that we can protect the truth, that we, Lord, we can monitor, we can do as best as we can, Lord, to make sure that our children aren't being exposed. We know what's happening in the schools, and Lord, I mean, it's, we can't be there to stop the teacher from teaching it. But we pray, Lord, that even with our children, Lord, we are fortifying them and building them up by giving them the truth of your word in our homes, that we're protecting the truth. And that when we hear something that's false, that we let our children know that's not right. We pray also that we would abide in your truth, Lord, and Lord, not go running after fables and the stories of men, and Lord, just trying to find something outside of your word. This is it. You've given us these 66 books. This is it. Nothing more. There's certainly men who have written books, Lord, that help us in our study. We thank you for them. But it is only your word that is the inspired word of God, God breathed. And we want to abide in it. We want to be comfortable. Lord, even in those places where it steps on our toes, we still want to be comfortable with it. We don't want to run away from your word because it convicts us. And so, Lord, we thank you for this passage today. What a timely passage for us. Help us again that we might know the truth, that we might protect it, and that we might abide in it. If that's going to happen, it's only because you do it. If that's going to happen, only, Lord, because you empower us to do it. And we thank you for it, and we bless you for it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, and amen. Lord bless you, Lord God.